potatoes, when I was a young guy, was the major cash crop all through this area. We planted 20 acres of potatoes. We would spend evenings after we got home from school and after the chores were done, down in the cellar cutting seed potatoes, which means that every seed potato has a number of eyes. We'd cut so that at least one eye on each one, and we'd have enough for the next day's planting. We did that many nights. We worked the field up, plowed it, disc it, dragged it, smoothed it down, and then we marked it with a horse-drawn marker that made little grooves in the ground, and the rows were 40 inches apart because that's the width of the back end of a draft horse, 40 inches, so it could walk down the rows and cultivate. We would mark it both ways, called checking both ways, and then we would plant with a hand planter wherever the marks crossed. Potato planter is a metal device, a handle on it. You drop the seed potato in the top, and you hear clip, clip, it open and close as you drop the potato in, and it went into the ground. And you work it all the way across 20-acre field, I don't know, a quarter mile long, something like that. My dad and a neighbor or a hired man sometimes would do that. And I didn't do a lot of that. That was hard work. Work had an elevated level of importance. Work was when you went out and shocked grain. When you went to the neighbors on a threshing crew, that was work. Chores were something you did twice a day and in the middle of the day too if you were home. You did chores all the time, especially at a small dairy farm. Chores are hauling in wood, feeding the chickens, throwing down silage, carrying in straw, milking cows. You never bragged about it, you never talked about it, but you talked about work often. You talked about how many acres of grain you shocked. You might talk about that. You never talked about how many cows you milked and how much silage you threw down, because everybody did that. So there's nothing special about chores. Everything special about work. We're going to put this right here.
What is it? Early bantam? What kind of suit can you use?
I've got one that's not such a... It's an early one, 67 days. Had a big garden. Big garden. Quarter of an acre garden. Big enough garden so you could cultivate with a horse and a one-horse cultivator, 40-inch rows. I mean, I still have such a garden. I've never gotten over that. And so what did we have in the garden? We did not have potatoes because we had 20 acres of them. We had plenty of potatoes. But there were beans and peas and carrots, radishes and lettuce, and lots of cabbage because of the sauerkraut, sweet corn, pumpkins, and then all that stuff was canned and stored in the cellar. My mother canned everything. She canned meat, she canned beef, she canned pork, she canned beans and peas and carrots. She canned raspberries and strawberries. She made grape jelly and strawberry jelly and raspberry jelly. All of these were sitting on the shelves. Further down into the cellar was a bin of potatoes, a couple of bins of potatoes, a half a bin of rutabagas, a bunch of onions, carrots, pumpkins, squash, all of that. Garden was very important. I don't recall that my folks ever bought a vegetable from a store, ever.
Yeah, they'll freeze off tonight. It's not going to freeze tonight, is it? Yeah, I think so. But yeah.
Let's see if you got any radishes here.
I don't think so.
No, they're too little.
Wait.
You can have that one.
Here.
Starting in April, it was nonstop something going on all the time. And if something wasn't going on, a planting or so on, it would be a rainy day, then we would hoe. Oh, my God. We would hoe. We would hoe the potatoes. We would hoe the garden. We would hoe the corn. We would hoe the thistles in the hollows. We would hoe the quackgrass. We hoed a lot. We learned how to hoe. And I can go at great length telling you about different kinds of hoes and different ways of sharpening them, different ways of making it through a day of hoeing, which is the most mind-numbing project in the world. But it gave you a chance to think about things and to develop your imagination and to appreciate the world around you and to listen to the birds, and so there are lots of stuff. You play all these games with yourself when you're alone and you're hoeing, and you've got to keep doing it because the old man is on the next row, and if you're screwing up, he's going to let you know it. So you keep on hoeing. And we didn't have any watches. So you learn how to watch the sun. Pretty soon you'd, oh, gosh, it's got to be at least another hour. And the old man had a watch, and he wouldn't look at it very often. But so we were always waiting, oh, when is it going to be time to eat? And especially for noon. Oh, God. By lunchtime, we were just starved. And when it got to be lunchtime, we all hurry on home. And my mother would have a huge noon meal, I mean, an enormous meal at noon. And we would eat this big meal, and we'd all go outside under a shade tree, flat out, sound asleep for 15, 20 minutes, half an hour. And the old man say, okay, time to get back at it. And then we're back at it, whatever we're doing. Geez, we worked hard. We were long, long days. Gee, we started at the crack of dawn, before dawn sometimes. Of course we were tired. We were exhausted. In fact, one of my dad's mantras was, and when you're talking about juvenile delinquency, he kind of rolled his eyes, somebody mentioned that, and he said, just remember, a tired kid is a good kid. There's some truth to that.